coming. Okay. Atrahe. Of the sage, Atri. Apatyam. Issue. That means filed in British English. So, Avikangshataha. Having prayed for. Aha. Said it. Tushtaha, being satisfied. Tataha, given over. Maya, by me. Aham, myself. Iti, thus. Yat, because. Magavan, the personality of Godhead. Saha, he. Tataha, Tathatriya. Yatpada. One whose feet. Pankaja. Lotus. Paraga. Dust. Pavitra. Purified. Deha. Body. Yoga. Mystic. Ridim. Opulence. Apahu. God. Ubayim, for both the worlds. Yadu, the father of the Yadu dynasty. Hoihoya Adyaha, and others like King Hoihoya. Translation, the great sage Atri prayed for offspring, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son, Dattatreya, Datta, the son of Atri. And by the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus, Hoihoyas, etc., became so purified that they obtained both material and spiritual blessings. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental relations between the personality of Godhead and the living entities are eternally established in five different affectionate humors, which are known as Shanta, Dasha, Sukhya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The sage Atri was related with the Lord in the affectionate Vatsalya humor, and therefore, as a result of his devotional perfection, he was inclined to have the personality of Godhead as his son. The Lord accepted his prayer, and he gave himself as the son of Atri. Such a relation of sonhood between the Lord and his pure devotees can be cited in many instances. And because the Lord is unlimited, he has an unlimited number of father devotees. Factually, the Lord is the father of all living entities, but out of transcendental affection and love between the Lord and his devotees, the Lord takes more pleasure in becoming the son of a devotee than in becoming one's father. The father actually serves the son, whereas the son only demands all sorts of services from the father. Therefore, a pure devotee who is always inclined to serve the Lord wants him as the son and not as the father. The Lord also accepts such service from the devotee, and thus the devotee becomes more than the Lord. The impersonalist desire to become one with the Supreme, but the devotee becomes more than the Lord, surpassing the desire of the greatest manas. Parents and other relatives of the Lord achieve all mystic opulences automatically because of their intimate relationship with the Lord. Such opulences include all details of material enjoyment, salvation, and mystic powers. Therefore, the devotee of the Lord does not seek them separately, wasting his valuable time in life. The valuable time of one's life must therefore be fully engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Then other desirable achievements are automatically gained. But even after obtaining such achievements, one should be on guard against the pitfall of offenses at the feet of the devotees. The vivid example is Hoihoya, who achieved all perfection and devotional service, but because of his offense at the feet of a devotee was killed by Lord Parashuram. The Lord became the son of the great sage Atri and became known as the Tathatreya. So, Atrera patyam abhikanshatakah tushto tatto mayaham itiyad bhagavan sadattaha yatpara pankaja paraga pavitra deha yogar namakpurupayem yaduhoi huyadhyaka. So, Om Megana, Sumiranda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yenitasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this understanding of devotional service, that is, Ahoyitaki pratita yatmi supersedite, Savaipum sampara dharmo yatapakri hoksaje, Ahoyitaki diha pratita yatmi supersedite. That's described in the Bhagavatam, that the topmost dharma, and it's also being described here as causeless devotional service without any cause, ahoyitu, no cause, a pratiyatana, it never stops in any circumstance. It's not impeded, basically impeded, that word means impeded. And so that is the service being taught by our Krishna consciousness movement. And generally, in most religious organizations, they're teaching something else. They're teaching bhukti-kam or mukti-kam. Sometimes siddhi-kam, not so much of that. Bhukti means sense gratification, and mukti means being free from the miseries of the material world. So it's interesting. I mean, generally, for example, here in Fiji, you have very much stress on worship of the demigods, right? And so one worships the demigods. Of course, many people worship the demigods because they're afraid. If they don't worship the demigods, they'll get smashed by the demigods. So a lot of it's done out of fear. Or it's done out of expectation of some personal reward. I was thinking about this the other day, that just like in America, during the hippie revolution, there was people wanted to have, I mean, I hate to say this, but anyway, people wanted to have sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Did you ever hear this expression before? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll? No, never heard it. Anyway, I think you know what it is. Rock and roll means Bollywood music, for those of you who don't know what it means. It doesn't mean you get in a boat and start rocking. It means Bollywood music, where everyone gets on the in a circle and dances around. Anyway, and drugs means, I think you know what drugs means. I think you have drugs here in Fiji, right? You growing? Fiji Gold? That's what it's called. So anyway, so the hippies, they wanted the sex, and I don't need to describe what sex is, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So you think, this is really low class. But then, if you examine, why do people worship the demigods? To go to heaven so they can have sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because what's there? What do you get in heaven? Apsaras, right? Isn't it? Yeah, we won't get into Somaras in a second. But anyway, like you have the apsaras, and you know, like the kshatriyas, they're taught if you fight and you win a battle, and then you're greeted by thousands of apsaras, you know, oh, my hero, you know. Like Urvasi and Menaka and others, you know. So the kshatriyas, they like that very much. So, and the apsaras, you know, they're not really attached to any particular one man, you know, they just, anyway, you get the idea. And then drugs, you got somaras. They get intoxicated in the heavenly planets. Of course, it's not the same type of intoxication you have here in Fiji, where someone's driving a car and they smash a car or anything like that. There, the intoxication is a little more sophisticated, but it's intoxication. I mean, what does intoxication mean? Intoxication means madness, to forget one's identity, basically. You know, generally we think of intoxication as smoking something or drinking something, but even intoxication can be there by television. I mean, you ever see someone watching television for hours and hours? You go like that. They're in trance, you know, samadhi. Like that. Hello, are you there? Hare Krishna. So, or people go to the movies too. I mean, there's so many different types of intoxication, but intoxication basically means to forget your who you are, and sometimes even to forget you who you are materially. So you see someone who's drunk, they forget who they are materially. Sometimes they become ghostly haunted. So in the higher planets, they get intoxicated like that sometimes. And then, of course, rock and roll, they have their Gandharvas. So they have their music. So it's just a sophisticated version of what we have here on the low, on the middle planet. Sorry, we're not on the low planet. What we have here in the middle planets, that's all it is. And Krishna says, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sune punya marcha lokam vishanti. That after a while, you go up there and then you have to come back down after your good karma runs out. Shine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Marcha lokam, that's this place. Like that. So, anyway, so generally, and religion, most religions are like that. That's called Kaitava Dharma. Cheating religion, where you promise people all these other things. But, Dharma Projita Kaitava Tra Paramo Niramatsaram Satam. But the Bhagavatam doesn't teach that. It teaches simply the desire, Anyabi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Anavritam Anukulyena Krishna Shilanam Bhakti Rutamam. Simply the desire to please Krishna in the way he wants to be pleased, and to be active at it, and to do it with a good mood, and to give up desire for bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. Or to give up desire for jnana and karma. Now, jnana means liberation, karma means gross sense gratification. So anyway, this is what Krishna consciousness is. Therefore, as Srila Prabhupada makes the point, a devotee would rather become Krishna's father than Krishna's son. But of course, each and every one of us has a particular relationship with Krishna in that way. And the interesting thing about these different rasas or mellows is that they build up on one another. In other words, let's say the first one is, passive adoration, shanta ras, then after that dasha ras, and then the friendship sakya ras, vatsalya ras, madhurya ras. And the qualities of one are present, or the first ones are present in the later ones, which is really interesting. In other words, it's not like the gopis are thinking, let's enjoy Krishna. They're thinking, let's serve Krishna. And how wonderful Krishna is. So they have the qualities of the shanta, dasha, and also vatsalya. Vatsalya means like the parental. They're thinking, oh, Krishna is going out and he's pasturing the cows, and of course Krishna doesn't have any shoes. It's not like nowadays people wear shoes. And they were all worried about Krishna's lotus feet. So that's a vatsalya mood, worried, protective vatsalya mood. And then there's some friendship in there too, where they're sometimes chastising Krishna. So that's the point. All these rasas, they actually build up to the madhurya ras. And each and every one of us has a particular ras or a particular mellow in relationship to Krishna. We don't know what that mellow is now, or at least probably you don't know what it is. But we have to become qualified to understand our particular mellow, and that qualification is obtained by serving the spiritual master, serving Krishna. That's how it's obtained. And one should not speculate on what his eternal rasa is, nor should you even speculate upon what the rasa of the spiritual master is. I was just reading a book, actually. One disciple of Prabhupada was speculating on what Prabhupada's rasa was. He said, because Prabhupada installed Gornatai deities, he must be a coward boy. But really, that doesn't necessarily indicate anything. Nor should one be poking his nose into these higher affairs of spiritual life. First of all, as I mentioned before, all the qualities of the lower, I don't want to even say lower, but of the preliminary rasas are present in the rasas that come after that. So even if one is in madhurya ras, they will actually exhibit qualities sometimes, like the sakya, vatsalya, what to speak of dasha, and shanta. So you can't really ascertain just by looking at someone, what they're doing externally. In fact, The injunction is that no one should try to understand the mind of an advanced Vaishnava. Also, the statement is Acharyamam Viganiyam Navamanyet Karichit Namarchibhutya Suyete Sarvadeva Mayoguru. That, you know, no one should see the spiritual master or a great devotee as an ordinary person and be thinking, projecting your own mentality or your own concepts upon that person. So we don't know what's going on in the minds of a pure devotee. We're seeing the pure devotee's doing this and that, but internally, you know, who knows what he's doing. Actually, it's described in the Bhagavatam that the pure devotee has his spiritual rasa relationship with Krishna. At the same time, he's either dancing with Krishna or playing with Krishna or taking care of Krishna and doing his service outside simultaneously. So, you know, one should be very careful not to speculate. And there's no need to speculate either. Actually, sometimes people speculate or they make some statement with a political motivation. Just like this one person, he was making the statement that, you know, Prabhupada was situated in a certain ras with Krishna. And if you want to understand a higher ras, then you have to accept the Shiksha Guru outside of ISKCON. But that's very dangerous. That is actually quite dangerous. Because loyalty, I mean, the loyalty that one has for the spiritual master, specifically for Prabhupada, should be like the loyalty, in a certain sense, that the chaste wife has for her husband. You know, it's not that she's looking at other men and thinking, you know, maybe he has more money than my husband, or he looks better than my husband. Oh my God. Can you imagine that? Of course, that's Western consciousness of spirituality or of husband. In the Western world, it's like that. They don't even bother to get married anymore. I was speaking to one couple, devotee couple, and they weren't married. And I said, why don't you get married? And they said, well, it's so much trouble later on if you have to split up. You have to hire a lawyer. It's so expensive. You know, Maharaj, be practical. And then they were living together for 8 years or something like that. And I said, huh, isn't it time yet? You know, after the 10th kid? No, not really. They didn't have any kids. But so in the Western world, and the modern world, I think it's also in India and also Fiji too, but not in the traditional Indian culture, there's no concept of loyalty. It's just like, you know, it's the me culture. Me culture. I, me, and mine. And, you know, relationships, you know, they're only good insofar as they serve me or please me. So, with Krishna and his representative, one should cultivate the mood of being faithful. And that mood of being faithful will bring you to the highest platform of devotional service. There's no doubt about it. That if we're actually faithful, especially staying within the purview of the ISKCON movement, faithful to Prabhupada, you know, whatever your rasa is, I mean, for example, you know, Sumukha happens to be a cow, you don't need to approach a cow Siksha Guru to understand that. I mean, you can approach some cows out there, you know, maybe cows, real cows. You know, just look at them and pet them. But, you know, what does it need? Because Prabhupada actually said that Krishna will take care, will reveal these things to you when it's time. So we have no need. What do we mean by going outside? Outside means outside of Prabhupada and his followers. We have our family. And so everything will be accomplished. We'll get all success if we stay within Prabhupada's family. Very, very important point. And Krishna will be impressed. We will have success and Krishna will be impressed if we remain loyal like that. And then ultimately, when it's time, when does one actually start to realize his spiritual identity? After the stage of anartha and nivritti, and when one becomes nishta. You know, nishta means steady in devotional service. Steady in devotional service means steady in your sadhana and steady in the rest of the life too. You know, we've seen plenty of people steady in their sadhana. You know, they got up early every morning, but when it comes later on in the life, later on in the day, you know, Vacho Vegam, Manasa, Krodha Vegam. You understand? So Nishta means steady 24 hours a day. You don't just check in when you go to work, like you check into the morning program, and then you check out at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then it's time to overeat. Then it's time to get angry. Then it's time to, what else, whatever else you do, it's time to go see some Bollywood film. Isn't it? Actually, I came to the realization that Bollywood films are a reflection of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Because that's what they're doing. They're dancing in circles and chanting, and everyone's going shh, like that. It is. I came to that realization. I mean, because sometimes I'm on the plane and they show Bollywood films there. Especially Air Pacific. Or, I was just in India, actually. In the airport, they're showing these Bollywood films like this. So I realized that's what Krishna's Rasa Leela must look like. Of course, the people looked a lot better in Krishna's Rasa Leela than in Bollywood films. So anyway, so Nishta, when you're actually free and steady 24 hours a day, then you start to realize. Then you actually start to get a hint of what your siddhadeya is, your spiritual. And then you can engage in something called Raganuga Sadam, spontaneous devotional service, but not until then. So if you're at that stage, come talk to me, we'll talk about it. And if not, just serve as best you can, you know, try to conquer over the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, words, and everything like that. And have kirtan, distribute prasadam. You know, there's nothing, no loss. Okay, so I just told everybody to keep it short. So any questions, comments, problems, issues? Arguments. Anyway, we're happy to be here. Happy to see everyone. Nice to see everybody here. And it's been about 6 months since I've been here. I've been missing all the devotees in Fiji. Thinking of you all. Even if you haven't been thinking of me. But I've been thinking of you all, and then I've been doing all sorts of wonderful things. Serving Krishna in different places around the world, especially serving Krishna at Govardhan. We spent a lot of time at Govardhan. We'll be speaking about that during the next few days because we have some special projects. Right now we're doing at Govardhan. So, any questions or comments? Questions, comments? Everyone's so quiet. Questions?
Prashne? You mentioned that you start with a rasa. Then you build up onto it.
Is that what?
The rasa which you are saving under.
Yeah.
And you build it, you build up onto that.
No, I'm saying that all the qualities of the, I don't want to say lower rasas, but of the beginning rasas are there in the ultimate rasas or as you go higher. It's like in the material world, you got earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. As you get grosser and grosser matter, let's say, you know, the sound in ether, right? So the sound is in ether, but the sound is also, and ether, of course, is just like space, okay? That's real subtle matter. That's the fifth of the Panchamahabhuta. Everybody knows what Panchamahabhuta is? So the sound is ether, but the sound is also in earth. And the taste, which is in the liquid, is also in the earth. You understand what I mean? We're talking about the Panchamahabhuta, the sound in ether, the taste in liquid, like that. The smell of the earth. All these are there. Touch in the air. All these are there in the earth as you get from subtler to grosser elements. So in the same way, as you go from Shanta, which is passive adoration, to Dasha, which is servitude, to Sakya, which is friendship, then you have all the qualities of the other. But I'm not saying necessarily you have to proceed in that way. I'm saying that each of the rasas has the qualities of the preceding rasas. It's not that you have to start. Of course, we do start with dasha. I mean, we're all servants. But it's not that you have to become, now I have to become a coward boy working my way up to be a gopi. That's not what I was trying to indicate. It's just that the highest ras, or the ras of conjugal attraction, madhurya ras, has all the qualities of the other rasas in it. That was the point I was making. All right? But we don't, at this point, you know, let's worry about being steady in devotional service. Let's worry about our anarthas like Kama Krodha Mada Matsarya, Varya Vaya. You're in trance. You didn't sleep much last night. Let's worry about, you know, let's worry about anger. Let's worry about lust. Let's worry about preaching. Let's worry about loving all living entities. Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmana Evanu Pashati. Sarva Bhuteshu Chatmanam Tatoda Vijvushate. Let's worry about that. You know, that's what we should concentrate on right now at our stage of devotional service. Being kind to all living entities, loving all living entities, ajata shatrava, not considering anyone to be our enemy. I mean, let's give an example. All of us get attacked from time to time, right? I'm talking about verbally attacked. Has anyone here has never been attacked, at least verbally, his whole life? No? What? Attacked verbally, you know. Has anyone here in this room has never been criticized by anyone his whole life? Raise your hand if you've never been criticized. I want to meet you. You'll be the first person. So when someone criticizes you, you know, they say, you're a jerk, you're an idiot. What do you think? What is your response?
Retaliate,
yeah. I hate you. You're a jerk also. You demon. Rakshasa. Low class. Mlecha. We got wonderful words. And we chant Hare Krishna as much as that, we'd be pure devotees. But so in other words, we see them as our enemy, isn't it? When someone attacks us, someone criticizes us, you know, even a little bit, we see them as our enemies. But, you know, I've learned that, you know, I can't give anyone good instruction anymore. You know that verse? Prakupayana Shantaye Upadesha. You don't know that verse. Upadesho himorkanam prakopayana shantaye. Do you know what that verse means? It's Hindi, is very similar. Upadesh himorkanam. If you give upadesh, what does upadesh mean? Instruction, morka. To a fool. Prakopaya nashantaye. Nashantaye. Show what a shanta mean. Peaceful. Na shantaye. He's not peaceful. What is the opposite of being peaceful? Angry! So anyway, so we generally find when someone criticizes us, we get angry, don't we? So that's a big challenge. That's a real challenge for all of you, isn't it? Like someone criticizes you, get angry. You're my enemy. But if you want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, guess what? If someone criticizes you, you have to think, you're my friend. You're helping me. That's a challenge. What if Haridas Thakur was being beaten in 22 marketplaces and he was just feeling compassionate? Right? Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father, attempted murder so many times. And when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narsingadev, did Prahlad Maharaj say, Jai! Like in some football game, a rugby, isn't it? When the other team is attacked, what do you say? Jai. One time, I think it was the rugby sevens, I was in Suva, and they were, it's a famous story, and it was like in the UK or something they were having the game, or somewhere in Europe, in the middle of the night, somewhere in Europe, right? In the middle of the night, all the devotees, I woke up in the middle of the night, I heard, Jai! And I said, wow. they're pretty sad. And the next morning I found out they were watching the rugby game. So anyway, I even asked the ladies, I said, where were you last night? Oh, watching rugby game. So Pallad Maharaj didn't say, Jai, got him, he scored a goal, Lord Nrsimhadev scored a goal. He said to Lord Nrsimhadev, you know, please forgive my father. Lord Jesus Christ said, forgive, and they know not what they do. So that's a real challenge. You've got to work on that. You want to understand your rasa? Work on that. That's a tough one, isn't it? Then when you've done that, then you can work on lust. Then you can work on, you know, attachment to different tasty food. Work on that one too. And then, I've given you a good homework assignment, haven't I? Lust, anger, greed, illusion. Work on fear, you're not being afraid. Work on envy. Work on not wanting something that someone else has. So, these are all things. I mean, of course, the way we work on them is not by negating them. The way we work on them is actually giving our heart to Krishna and chanting the holy names pure. But what I'm saying is these are all prerequisites before you can understand your rasa. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, yuva vegam, udara, pashta vegam. These are all prerequisites. That means they come before. Okay? Everybody looks real lively this morning, tired. I think some of you were driving all night long to get here or woke up early in the morning. Right? What? Oh, last night. What time did you leave last night? 6 o'clock and you got here about 10? Oh, that's why you're tired. Went to bed by midnight. Okay. You're excused. You have a good excuse. All right. So all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.